What's good, everybody? It's your boy Hans.
And this is Tristan.
Welcome to the Hans and Tristan podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again. We appreciate it as always. Tristan, how have you been? How's your week been?
My week has been amazing. You know, I love when I can make money, so.
Hey, that's all you gotta say. When you get into the money.
That's it.
You know,
get into the bag. I might acquire a bag under my eyes, but it's okay.
There you go. Isn't it funny how certain troubles just go away when you get to the bag?
Listen, you know what? You just feel like I'm doing something with my life. My life is not purposeless.
Listen, we ain't got to worry about how this bill's going to get paid or how this meal's going to get to the table. So the little things in life, man.
Now I just got to keep my child out of my pockets. If I keep out of my pockets a little longer, then maybe I can hold on to the bag.
Good luck. You got a teenage girl. Good luck.
I know.
Good luck. You ever see, there's this gif of this old, I guess this old scene from a black and white movie, and it's this little girl. She must be like 3 or 4 years old at the most, and she's just throwing money out the window.
Yeah.
That's what parents look like to me.
that's exactly what it is. You're like, yo, as much money as I spent on this one human being in 18 years, I could have had a mansion. I could have had a yacht. I could have had my RV. Like, what am I doing? This is kind of hustling backwards. Just to procreate? Seems like hustling backwards. That's why I only got one.
There you go. But yeah, well, I'm glad you get into the bag. That's what matters. Definitely glad you get into the bag. So we're unfortunately starting the show off again on a sad note. Recently, a couple days ago, actually, another Black African-American artist passed away by the name of Black Rob. He was only, Tristan, only 52 years old. Only 52
That's
years
young
old.
As yeah, hell.
Exactly. But he looked like he was 80.
Yeah, no, them streets will eat your ass up.
Yeah.
That's how people all the time. Them streets don't love nobody. Like, they will eat your ass up, spit you out, and move the fuck on. So, you know, it's very, very sad and unfortunate. Especially, like you said, these are people we know, like Black Rob, DMX. And I'm saying that, no, personally, but you've seen their success, especially us because of the generation we grew up in and being from up north. It's like you've seen their success and that's kind of something you strive for. You strive for that kind of notoriety and that, you know, money, and then to see people die so early and be broke when they did, you're like, damn.
Yeah, he honestly, and I hate to use this word, but he died like almost in destitute. I mean, like you said, he had, and this is crazy you say that because DMX and Rob and Black Rob had soundtracks for growing up, right? Their music was like the soundtrack, and like, whoa, when that came out, that took the scene, like whoa, you know?
Yes.
It killed the scene. That song was in rotation heavy.
Literally. I remember the video. And the crazy thing is, again, is being associated to, you know, Bad Boy Entertainment and that kind of dynasty. You would think like, okay, well, Bad Boy, Puffy, like these artists should be good, but Black Rob isn't the only artist that actually is financially, you know, at a deficit or was at a financial deficit. So, you know, that I hope allows people to go and, you know, kind of do their own research and focus on how can we have certain people in these industries, artists specifically, still be able to sustain their life after their hits or after they retire.
Right. So what Tristan is alluding to, so Black Rob, and also the cause of death, at least what they're saying is cardiac arrest, but there's also been reports that he struggled with drug use as well. And before his death, he actually had a couple of videos out. I remember seeing one on social media when he was in the hospital and, you know, he was looking like he was in bad shape. And at that time he was actually commenting on DMX because DMX was in great condition at the same time. And he was saying, hey man, I love X. I hope he pulls through, you know, this is something sad, you know, we got to get through it and everything like that. And after he was released from the hospital, he did another video, and he was just looking still in bad shape, and he was sharing how he really was messed up and didn't have a place to live. He was homeless, had nowhere to go. And I know artists like Royce da 5'9" and other people were, you know, trying to put money together, GoFundMe, to get him a place to live. And it's like you said, these larger than life figures, when we were coming up, end up dying in such horrible and horrendous condition. And it goes to show that this industry that they're in is a self-serving industry. And it's not necessarily one that is built to take care of the people that are making it big, that are giving it all these fruits and allowing it to flourish. It's not set up like that. It really isn't. It's not your regular 9-to-5 where they set you up with a 401k that they match a certain percentage of. It's not where they automatically enroll you into some type of healthcare package that you can use for you and your family. That's not how, you know, these companies and industries are set up, and not just in the rap or entertainment game, but also in the sports world as well. Mm-hmm. So our larger than life figures are actually more vulnerable than we think of.
And understanding that even when, like, you know, artists and athletes, that's pretty much like entrepreneurship, right? It's like contract work.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. So it's up to you to do your research, become financially stable. It's up to you to do your research to save. And, you know, okay, so I'm making this much, so how do I allow this much? Because you're making lump sums of money that's not really guaranteed. Think about it, like, as an athlete, like, you can really get one injury that will end your whole career.
Mm-hmm.
As an artist, it's just one bad song that can mess you up. You know what I'm saying? You can't bounce back from that. One bad event, like, I think it was like, was it Chrisette Michelle when she talked for
Trump? The presidential inauguration. Right.
If she ain't bounced back from that yet.
Yeah, and she came out and apologized for it and everything too, but.
Yeah, and a whole article and everything, but it's one thing, and it could really change the whole trajectory of how you function, your money, your income, and everything, your lifestyle. And on top of the fact that a lot of people we talk about come from the streets. So their mentality in and of itself plays a factor in their adjustment. So money doesn't really solve all your problems. You still have to be mentally prepared for everything that comes your way.
No, that's definitely true. And the fact of the matter is the dreams and the promises at the end of those dreams are a lot of times is what's being used to bait and get these artists to sign these contracts that are not necessarily beneficial for them. Could you imagine if these labels came with a 401k package, came with a healthcare package, did all of that? You get what I'm saying?
The labels would be broke.
Exactly.
The labels would be broke. And they're not doing it. I mean, but think about it. But we hear this so much, especially with TLC, with Birdman in them, with, you know what I'm saying? Like, we hear it so much where, like, you didn't read the contract, or you read the contract, but you didn't understand the contract. Because guess what? You coming from the streets, or you're a teenager, whatever case may be, and somebody's putting you on, you ain't got money to get a lawyer to read over your contract. Or guess what? You're just so excited that you are just so happy that someone is willing to take a chance when you're not understanding that they have hidden agenda. So, like you say, it's the dangling the carrot in their face.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly
it. It's so sad.
That's exactly it. And like you said, coming from where they're coming from, you're offering them a way out. Even though that way out may have strings attached to it, all they're seeing is a way out. Like, that's like you basically offering somebody hungry, you get what I'm saying? A steak in it, but the steak is laced. Well, they're hungry. Right. They're just trying to.
It's just like, better example, right? You got this lion out there in the wilderness. You got to hunt for your own food. So you might not be eating as consistently. But then you got somebody like, I'll feed you every day, three times a day. But now you're captive and you're in the fucking zoo somewhere.
Exactly.
So you get them 3 meals a day, but now you're their prisoner.
Exactly. So they're really. There's a cost that comes with it. And it's just unfortunate that these entities that advertise themselves as being saviors of our people. Some are really vultures of the people. And I'm not blaming Bad Boy or anything like that, because at the end of the day, I do understand the nature of the business, but I also do understand that for me, if you are benefiting off of the people that you identify with, I think you also have a responsibility to help them out in the long run as well. Now, I don't know the nature of Black Rob's, you know, drug struggles and addictions, because we know as mental health professionals that often burns bridges, right? Because when you're struggling with addiction, right, there's manipulative behaviors that come, you know, there's burning of the bridges and relationships that happen as well, just so you can keep that addiction going. So who's to say that didn't happen as well? But what we're talking about is more of a grander scheme of things. If we have organization amongst these entities, like our labels, like our athletic managers and these firms that represent these, you know, athletes, if we have them come together and set up a structure similar to what we see in the corporate world, right, with your 9-to-5s and things like that, if you set up these things and put them in place in our own community, how much better off would they be? Now you're seeing more of it in the sports world because of a documentary that came out about 10, 15 years ago that referenced how athletes were losing their money. So now a lot of times you're seeing these firms or these athletes, managers who represent athletes, also have like financial lawyers that accompany them with as well. So you're seeing that, but it's far and few in between. And the entertainment world, I don't think, is up to game as, you know, as compared to the world of athletes, or even compared to corporate world. They're not on the same, they're not on the same speed. So what we're saying is, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, like, in understanding that, it's like, when you step into this world, it's so foreign to you. It's like a club, right? It's like an exclusive club. Like, you don't know what it's like until you're actually in it. I feel the same way about marriage. Like, you don't know what it's like until you're actually in it. People can tell you about the shit all day long, but until you're actually in it, you really don't know what it requires. And the same thing when you are assigned to certain companies, certain contracts, whether an athlete or artist, whatever. So then when you get into it, you see, you know, this large sum of money. Like, say, for example, like, you get signed for 3 years and you get, like, several million, you like, shit, I'm gonna buy my house, I'm gonna buy my house. Look at MC Hammer, he bought everybody's shit, bought his homeboy shit, and then broke. So you're thinking that, yeah, I got this money, but more is coming. And you don't know when the well runs dry until it's dry.
Yeah.
That's that to me is why it's imperative to teach these people, like, so yeah, you know what, you might have 8 years or 12 years in the actual league, or, you know, as far as musically, you might have that. But then understanding that once you buy this mansion, and you might pay your mansion off, you still got to pay property taxes. You still got to pay your power bill. You still got to pay utilities and stuff like that. So how are you going to be able to sustain that when you don't have the same kind of money coming in?
That's facts. That's facts. So for those who are out there trying to get into the world of entrepreneurship and all of that, also keep all of that in mind. You have to take care of yourself holistically. So you have to plan for that. We oftentimes disregard our own health in pursuit of financial gain. And I get it. Listen, we've all come. Well, I'm going to say we all, but we've come from some rough situations and from rough places.
I'm about to say, we both have done it personally. Maybe not with such a grand game. Because it's kind of, I look at you like, so you're not going to go to sleep today?
You get what I'm saying? So we're speaking from firsthand accounts. We've sacrificed and put our health in danger many a times in the pursuit of getting that bag. But at the end of the day, we're learning from our past and we're learning from our mistakes, and you have to plan for the future if you want to be around for that future. That's really what it is. You can't just fumble into it. You're not, because then what quality of life are you setting yourself up for? So especially in the corporate world, because not all, and we're using them as kind of a standard, but they're not the best standard as well, because not every corporation or company is set up to benefit for you. Some of them don't offer the best health insurance or packages. So you really have to shop around for health insurance. There's some who don't even offer like a 401k or anything of that nature. So you really have to make sure that you're protecting your own health and the health of your family moving forward, because the reality of the situation is nobody else is going to do it for you unless you do it for yourself. And don't be afraid to advocate for yourself as well.
I think, and that's long story short, no, that advocation is highly important. Highly important. And long story short is, in the pursuit of success, you're going to sacrifice something, but don't let it be your health and well-being.
Yes facts. So we send our thoughts, prayers, and condolences to the family of Black Rob, man. R.I.P. another one gone.
I know, Jesus.
I know. Legends are leaving us. So, Tristan, South Carolina, Columbia specifically, in the
town. You know, when you say that, like I told you, my baby daddy from South Carolina.
So you got cringe.
I automatically get triggered.
Yeah, yeah, like, you were cringing for a second. You're like,
like, no, go ahead.
I'm sick of you. So, yeah, so Columbia, South Carolina was in the news, making the headlines, going viral all last week, all because of some foolishness. So this U.S. Army sergeant, and he was actually a high-ranking sergeant, he was a trainer, so which means he was responsible for training, aka setting the standard for those below him. Well, I guess he let his racist side show. His racism was showing. He forgot to button it up. So this young Black man by the name of DeAndre was just out walking around in the neighborhood. It was a nice day. You know, the weather's getting warmer down here in the South. We've had a lot of rain and cold. So it's a nice day. He's out here walking around enjoying the weather. Well, apparently that was a little bit too much for this Army sergeant in his neighborhood.
How dare you enjoy the weather while being Black? What? Mm-mm. How dare you?
How dare you enjoy this earth?
Right. How dare you walk around and get some fresh air while being Black in my eyesight? That's right. Ridiculous.
Don't you know you look suspicious?
Yes, because you're Black and you're walking. What? How dare you?
So on the video, you're seeing this Army sergeant who's literally towering over this young man. I'm talking about towering. He looks like an Army sergeant. Let me just say that. Dude has to be like at least 6'4", 6'5", built solid. So the video picks up where DeAndre, which is the name of the young man, they're having a basically back and forth with this Army sergeant. And in the background, you hear the Army sergeant's wife basically echoing the Army sergeant's.
Antagonizing. She's throwing a battery in his back.
Yeah.
Okay.
She reminds me of that homegirl from the back. Yeah. Like,
right. But my thing is, why are you even out there, lady?
Well, I guess, you know, news went around.
And they think it's their duty to be top flight security in the world. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, video picks up, they're in the back and forth. The Black guy's basically saying, I don't have to tell you what I'm doing. I'm just literally walking around. That, who are you? Like, where are your credentials? Why are you asking me this?
I don't have to answer to you. Yeah, exactly. I'm a free person just like you, and I don't have to answer to you because you have, in the Army, you might have some ranking, but as in this free world of civilians, sir, you and I are equals. Exactly. Like, I'm not on your property. I'm on a public sidewalk, public street. Why are you harassing me? And I might be out here clearing my head, mind my business, and you prevent me from doing that. So exactly. Please get out.
So he's telling him, like, yo, bro, like, I'm walking. I don't got to say nothing to you. I don't got to tell you where I live. I don't have to tell you anything. I'm just out here walking. He's like, you can't walk. And the Army guy's like, you look suspicious. Suspicious walking, right? So his wife says, why are you walking around the houses? You got into a lady. And the dude on DeAndre says, I didn't get into it to anybody, like referencing who was talking to him. And that's when I guess the Army guy loses it. He gets further up in his face, says, that's my wife. Don't you talk to my wife. So I guess she's special and you can't talk to her.
Yeah, she's special. Again, to you, she's special. And if that's the case, she needs to go in the house because now you're in a situation where you're confronting me and this could go either way. So why is your wife out here to begin with? Right. Why, just to fucking just see what's going on?
Well, you know, you got to flex real quick because your husband's big and bad, or he thinks he's big and bad. So as he gets into DeAndre's face, he pushes him violently. And DeAndre's like, yo, whoa, chill, like relax. So dude tells him, you don't belong here, you know, calls him all types of words and everything like that. So this video goes viral. It gets crazy. You know, the internet, Black Twitter just retweets it. Instagram blows it up and it makes its way up to his commander. And lo and behold, his commander is Black and he is not here for any of this at all. So it comes out and he says there's going to be an immediate investigation into what happened. And he says, he says that we don't stand for anything that promotes discrimination or subjugation of any people in any regard. And we're taking this seriously and we're looking straight into it. And the Army sergeant is actually picked up the next day and arrested. he is arrested.
As he should be.
But what I love about this is, as it's making its way viral into the ethos that is the internet, Black people pick up, and you know this because your ex is from Columbia, South Carolina. They have a big Black population there. So yes, they do. The Black people get together and said, oh, we about to walk around in this neighborhood and see if he's going to say something to us. So literally, people start going there and it turns into this big rally, this big protest. They're blocking the street. People post it up with their camping chairs. They start to post Black Lives Matter signs in front of his yard. They have their bullhorns. They're saying, hey, come out. Stop us from walking, you know, come and talk to us. We're here. You know, they're flooding the neighborhood, which is something that I love to see. I love how
Black people will overdo something in 2.5 seconds.
Listen, we mobilize so quickly, though. So quickly.
I'm like, so are we going to have a fish fry in front of this house tonight? What are we doing?
Why not? We're here. So it was just something that just to me, I love to see, because at the end of the day, like you said, all I'm doing is practicing my basic human rights of walking and enjoying fresh air. That's all I'm doing. I didn't peek into your window. I didn't step on your property. As you can see,
I was on the sidewalk.
Like, I was minding my business. Minding my business.
Like I said, that's public property at the end of the day. So why can I, like, again, mind my business? I'm minding my business. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm. So, and what's ironic enough in the video, as it's going on, you see these Black ladies, they're walking too, and you can see they're in exercise gear. So they're clearly exercising and walking. But nothing said to them too. But hey.
Because I can see what you're doing and I can just stand. So if I had a dog, you would be comfortable. If I had exercise clothes, you'd be comfortable. But because I'm in regular street clothes and I'm just walking around again, minding my business, that bothers you because you can't figure out what I'm doing. But when he fails to realize, it's not your job to figure out what I'm doing.
Thank you. You're not here to police the neighborhood, sir.
At all. And the only reason you came out here is because I was the size I am. Because if I was your fucking size, you wouldn't have stepped out here.
It's funny. That's why everybody in the comments were saying. They're saying, yo, dude, if let him find another Black man who's up to his size, see if he would have done anything.
His wife wouldn't have been out there.
Exactly.
His wife damn sure wouldn't have been out there.
What they would have done would have been the traditional white people response, call the cops.
Call the police. That's right.
And the police would have said, what can I do? He's walking.
No, the police would have showed up because the blue crack ass crackers love that shit. And they would have showed up and fucking everybody would have been out there flexing all of a sudden.
But I'm glad that didn't happen because, you know, our police are trigger happy nowadays. So dude clearly has been arrested. And I think last I heard his job's in jeopardy or he's been demoted or something like that.
He probably will get discharged. And it's today because, like I said, the Army don't play shit like that.
I would hope so. I really would hope so. But at the end of the day, though, I do. Two things that I took from this that are very encouraging. One, how quickly we're able to mobilize within the same day and get everybody out there. I thought it was great. I thought that was great. A little petty, but hey, great. Great.
Right. So next time you want to come up here and, you know, confront people who are minding their fucking business, just know that, okay, you made it known to the public that you want some.
Right. That, and also, a high-ranking Black official in the Army actually did something right. Like, he stood up for his people. So rather than give the PC, like, you know, we don't know what happened or anything, no, he came down hard and I was like, nah, this ain't. And I looked up his history. He's from Columbia, South Carolina. So, like, he had, like, that sense of, like, this is my hood. Like, who do you think you are?
Kind of. How dare you?
Yeah, kind of situation.
Ooh, child. You know, white people, they just, it's just like, what are y'all doing? Like, relax. Like, relax. Like, what are y'all doing? It's not that. Go eat your cheese sandwich and go sit down and relax. Like, it's not that serious. Like, you don't have to be paranoid all the time.
Well, what was striking was the words, right? You don't belong here. And that's right. How they feel.
Right. No, and that's why I said the only reason I look suspicious is because I'm not welcome. That's the only reason. Not because it's just like, you know what it is? Like when you growing up and you go to the corner store and the Asians follow you around and shit, you want my money. You want me to buy something, but you really don't want me here. You want me to hurry up and give you my money and fucking leave.
Exactly.
You don't want me walking around browsing and shit.
No, I mean, that's a fact. So even my wife and I, when we were staying with our parents, so there's adjacent, you know, like subdivisions everywhere, and some are real nice, like really, really nice. So as part of exercise, we would go walking. And even us walking, we had to keep stuff kind of like that in mind too. It's like look friendly. If somebody waves, wave back kind of situation. Like, and it's sad that we have to have that mindset while we're walking. Yeah. And also, we made it a point to not walk after dark as well. Just so, because don't forget, this was around the time too, Ahmaud Arbery, who was just jogging and died in Brunswick, Georgia. So it's crazy the things that we, Tristan, have to think about when we go out while being Black, because we don't have the same freedoms as our white counterparts. So why do me and my wife have to think about, okay, how we come off when we're just literally trying to get some exercise? Because that's when COVID restrictions was even, you know, tighter, if there were any down here anyway. But, you know, so we were just trying to get out the house and do, but we have to think about that, because at the end of the day, we're not welcomed.
Period. At all. And this is why I stay on the South Side, because when I go walking, I might get like, you know, I just see people trying to holler at me and get my number. That's it. I don't like people because I'm amongst my people, right? Because you know, Black people, we love being outside, honey. We don't care. Like cutting grass, walking, just doing whatever, listening to music, smoking, whatever, drinking. We're gonna do it outside because we like being outside. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm with my people, so I don't have to worry about that, fortunately. But the issue becomes we shouldn't have to worry about that anywhere.
Right.
Like that shouldn't be a factor anywhere, because legit, you're just minding your fucking business.
Yeah. That's why that while being Black is so real. Anything while being Black comes with added pressure and oftentimes unintended consequences, because we have to worry about our livelihood, literally doing mundane everyday things, going to the grocery store,
driving. Listen, that is literally it. I'm driving, I'm sleeping, I'm in here playing video games. Yeah, I shoot up my house. I'm really minding my business. And because I'm Black, now I'm a threat.
Exactly. So, but this was a good story. I'm glad that Army Sergeant has been arrested and charged with assault. I'm glad his commanding officer came down on the right side of things and made it clear that they're not standing up for any of this at all. So it is awesome to see. I hope we see more of these types of stories happening, because I'm so happy it was quick. It came down quick. It wasn't something we had to wait weeks for an investigation. Nah, it was exactly. Quick. We saw what we saw. It is what we saw. Let's get it done.
And that's it. And let me know where the next fish fry at. Who else we posting up next?
facts. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. As you know, you can listen to the Hans and Tristan podcast wherever podcasts are downloaded, streamed. Please subscribe to our podcast. Also, hit us up on social media. We're on IG as the Hans and Tristan podcast. To check out our page. And last but not least, we're on YouTube as well. We have a lot of episodes up there on YouTube, so you can see our lovely faces and the many hairstyles that Tristan does sport. She changes it up on you, you know. So definitely check out our YouTube page, which is called the Hans and Tristan Podcast. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.